Yes, it is. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for another wonderful evening with you and all our brothers and sisters across the land. We just praise you, Lord, for all the work that you're doing in us. And it's all that noise. Anyway, thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. We just praise you, Father, that everybody listens and that George is anoint George to teach what you want him to teach tonight, Lord, and let it be a blessing for everybody. And Father, we thank you for all that's going to be taken and done tonight by your Spirit. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you for an open heaven with our prayers, Lord. We command every hindering spirit out of here in the name of Jesus. We're not going to put up with any kind of nonsense from you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for keeping this communications open for everybody in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Any prayer requests, testimonies, or praise reports? Oh, everybody's in good standing. That is awesome. Okay, go ahead, Samuel or Tiana.
Hi, I was just wondering, because Samuel gets really, really bad migraines, and he's been getting really bad, like, abdominal pain and bleeding in his stool very regularly, and we've been praying against it and doing spiritual warfare, and we've been asking the Lord what's causing it, but we haven't really heard anything, but we're wondering if we could please get prayer
for Samuel. For sure. You're talking about Samuel?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, all right. Yeah, we absolutely can. Father, we lift up Samuel to you. Lord, he's not under the curse. In the name of Jesus, I command this spirit of infirmity off of him. I command you to go from him right now in the name of Jesus. You don't have any right to be there, so you take off right now in the name of Jesus. Take all your lying symptoms with you in Jesus' name. We command every symptom to leave his body right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you're filtering his whole body right now to be completely free of any kind of infirmity in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. Now, Samuel, you be whole and free in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus covers you, and you are healed and set free right now in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for your almighty healing upon Samuel right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Does everybody believe that? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. It is done. Praise you, Father. My. All right, it's done.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right, anyone else? Amen. Hey, Leo. Thank you, Lord. David. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Go ahead, Lana.
Hi, everybody. We've been standing in faith with Theo and I and some of the sisters that I've shared with against Gabe's fever. And he's doing great. And I just like to ask that the rest of you just agree with us that this fever is gone as of this morning, praise the Lord, and that Gabe will be just fine here shortly.
Thank you, Lord. He is healed, delivered, and set free right now in Jesus' name, and the fever has to go. You leave that child right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We believe it. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. You're an awesome God, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Can I tell you a little story I read about here just a few minutes ago? Okay. Anybody got anything they want to do? Hey, Pat. Well, it seems that there was this guy in Arkansas. And he had a son who got mad at him. He was a druggie and he took off. And they hadn't seen him in a couple of years. His dad was a Christian. And his dad just got, he just got in his car one day, went out on the highway in the evening, pulled over, he got out of his car, and he looked to the north, and he said, "Bobby, come home." He looked to the south, he said, "Bobby, come home." He looked to the east, and he said, "Bobby, come home." And he looked to the west, and he said, "Bobby, come home." Got back in his car, went back home, prayed a little bit. 2 days later, his son showed up. Told him his story. He said, "Son, what happened?" He said, "Well, I was out in Arizona." He said, "I was higher in the Georgia Pine." He said that I was smoked up, high on drugs. He said, "This wind came up. And I heard this voice in this wind said, 'Bobby, come home.' And it was you, Daddy." He said, "I knew I had to come home immediately." So he jumped in his car and went home to his daddy. That's faith. That's faith. Another little story here, just a little one. This young man had come to Christ, and he lived, I don't remember where he lived, but I think it's North Carolina. No, he lived somewhere else, another state. Anyway, he was out walking, hiking one day, and he was praying. He ran across this guy, and this guy had a notebook with him, and he said, "Hi, I'm so-and-so and such-and-such." He said, "What's your name?" He told him what his name was. His name was Tate something or other. Anyway, he said, "I'm an intercessor." He said, "Is there anything that I can pray for you for?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "As a matter of fact, I've been praying for a wife, one that God would pick for me. And I would like to have a good, godly wife that the Lord picked out for me." So he said, "Okay." He said, I'll be praying for you then." Off he went. 4 years later, he's been married this wonderful gal. And they were up in another state. And they heard about a home meeting that was going to take place. So they decided that they would go with them. And they went up there. And it was a professor's house from the University of North Carolina that was a Christian. Anyway, they both he and his wife went in. And they were meeting the people there. And this guy comes down the stairs from the second floor. And he looks at him. He says, "Tate, is that you?" "Yeah, that's you." He said, "Hang on just a minute." And he went upstairs and he got his notebook. He came back down. He opened it up. He says, "Here, Tate," whatever his last name was, godly wife. That's all he wrote down. But he said, it was seven years later. He said, I've been praying for you. I prayed for you for seven solid years until December the 7th of this past year, or 3 years ago. And he said, the Lord told me, said, stop praying. It's okay now. That date was the date that he and his wife had gotten married. You see what faith does? Just believing that God's going to do something. My gracious sakes alive. That's awesome. Go ahead, Lana.
Hey, y'all. That, speaking of a godly wife, that reminds me of somebody we met this past New Year's Day when we went to spend some time with friends. One of my husband's old friends recently got engaged to a young lady who moved to where we live now from California. And they're a very lovely couple. They're Christians. And she had also been looking for a godly husband, and the Lord quickly arranged this meeting and their friendship that quickly evolved into an engagement. But she's struggling as she prepares for their wedding next month. She's struggling with all the religious requirements, silly things like, oh, this can't be your wedding color because it's too dark and it's too morbid or whatever. Just church stuff. Absolutely ridiculous. And it's stressing her out. So if we could please lift her up in prayer. She did ask me to pray for her. Father God, I lift up Oksana and David to your throne of grace as they prepare, Father God, to enter into a beautiful life together. And I know that, Father God, not only did you bring this lovely couple together, but you have greater plans for them, Father God, in their walk with you and their understanding of the full gospel. Father God, I pray for Oksana. And I cast off these demons of stress, these demons of religion that are attacking her and her fiance, Father God, these legalistic spirits that are working through family, friends, church elders, Father God, we bind all this up in the name of Jesus. And we ask, Father God, for your peace and her and for your grace to fill her up, Father God, so that she can do what she needs to do, Father God. And I thank you for delivering them of this system in due time. I bless them, Father God, in Jesus' name, Father God. And I ask that you pour out your blessing on them on their wedding day, Father God, and their life going forward as well. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Lord, we just hook our faith up with Lana and call it a soul, that anxiety, stress, and all that stuff, leave her and she be in the rest of the Lord. And Father, we thank you for that. Lord, if you put it in the heart, just tell them to go run off and get married. In Jesus' name. Of course, that probably wouldn't go with the family.
All we right, did Jenny, suggest they ahead. Do that.
Okay. Go ahead, Julie.
I cast off all the spirits of confusion and uncertainty and doubt and trying to be man pleasers in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just pray that you give them peace of mind and direct their steps, and you'll put it in their hearts what your will is for you, for this wedding, and what you want them to do, and give them the words to speak grace to their family members and just say, this is what we want. And we just bind all this control and manipulation of the family as well and cast all that down in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for working this out. You brought them together, and we agree that they're just for blessings on their time, Lord, before they get married now and the days coming, and that you bless their wedding and you bless their marriage. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Go ahead, Greg.
Thanks. I just wanted to add to that. Lana, what were their names again, please?
It's Oksana and David.
Okay. All right. I just want to add to the prayer. That's all. I'm thrilled about the God doing the matchmaking thing, which is the only way to go, I reckon. I'm not thrilled about the interference. So, Lord, I just want to give you honor and glory for these people that just get specific to Oksana and David, but all those, Lord, who are happy to submit to you and wait for your timing and your direction to say that one. Lord, on this earth, at least where I live, marriage requires a bride, a groom, two witnesses, and a celebrant. I would add to that, Lord, your presence and you know, have those witnesses be godly. And if there's more than two, that's great as well. But, Lord, everything else is utterly peripheral. There are some trappings we add to weddings and marriages that add to it, and that's great. But everything that interferes or wants to hang on to or wants to interfere with that making of the covenant, Lord, I call your name over them and ask for the angels and the forces of heaven to come against them and to drive them back, because marriage was your idea. You instituted it and you made the first appointment. And I just, that to be over Oksana and David as well. Everything else, get out of the way. The Lord's name be glorified. Amen. That'll do.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Get them folks out of the way. All right. Who's next? Yeah, Debbie.
Yeah. I shared a blog today to local blog and maybe some other little ways out that, but not everybody sure got it. But Hatcher's been sick for several days. Anyway, he's ran a high fever today, and prayers went up from everyone here, and he's really bounced back somewhat, and he was up and smiling, and the video camera was giving, kept saying, "Grandma, Grandma, Grandma," wouldn't stop, and smiling real big. They looked really peaked, and I just called her a little while ago, just like, how's he doing? I want to give a good report, and I was hoping it was a good one. She goes, "Well, you can please pray for him some more, because he's laying down again, he's listless, and he doesn't want to do anything. And he feels warmer again, and he won't drink any water." So I prayed for her over the phone, said, "Well, whether he drinks water or not, God can still heal him." So we prayed for that, whether he healed him, whether he drank water or not, that we just commanded that healing in. So anyway, I said I would share it tonight for everyone else to agree with us for Hatcher to get over this, because it's been going on for a while. So would you pray, Michael?
Yep, sure will.
Thank you.
That's Hatcher, right?
Hatcher. He's two.
Yeah. Okay. Two-year-old Hatcher, you be healed in the name of Jesus. We command this spirit of infirmity off of you. We command it to go right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father. He is healed. He's delivered. He's going to drink water. He's going to eat food. He's going to be just fine. And Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that Hatcher is completely free of the spirit of infirmity in Jesus' name and all Amen. The symptoms. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right. Go ahead, Lana.
Hey again. My sister called me today looking for advice for her little one-year-old daughter, Estella. It sounds like Estella was sick, I think, back in December. And since then, she's kind of hung on to quite a few symptoms. And my sister's tried everything, and she can't seem to get it to go away. And when I spoke to her, she had called asking, you know, whether I had anything else in mind that I could offer. And I said, you know, you've tried so much, I'd be afraid to, you know, to try anything else except to turn to the Lord and pray. And I really encouraged her to just pray and give it up to that and give it some time. They're Christians. They're just not full gospel believers. So I just want to lift them up in prayer as well. Father God, I bring precious Estelichka to your throne. And I ask you, Father God, to hear our prayers as we command this infirmity, this sniffling, the cough, the loss of appetite, the listlessness off of her, Father God. We ask you, Father God, to deliver her of these symptoms. And so that, Father God, this also, we also ask you, Father God, to motivate Jen and Joey to be on their knees in prayer for this, so that they can see the magnificence of your hands, Father God, at work. And so that when you deliver her, Father God, they can give you the praise and glory and know that you do answer prayers, you hear, you heal, Father God, because they've tried everything and there's nothing more they can do. But Father God, I know you can override all that and you can wipe out all those symptoms in a moment. Father God, I thank you for doing that for little Estelichka and giving a testimony and a witness to Jen and Joey to try this more often, Father God, and bring them into your kingdom as well. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith up with her. Believe it is so. Everything she prayed is coming to pass right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody agree? Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. All right, go ahead, Malcolm.
There's a lady by the name of Stephanie who's apparently has a baby that has developed instead of in the uterus in one of the fallopian tubes. And what they normally do medically is to remove the baby so the mother doesn't die. Because when the fallopian tube apparently can kind of explode or whatever, or the baby, I mean, it's just a bad situation. So right now they can already hear a heartbeat. So it's a little bit hard for everybody. So I've already prayed with some other folks that the baby will move to the uterus and grow normally. That of course means probably detachment and reattachment, but that's all God does all that stuff. So I don't know if she's placed a Christian or a believer or anything. I just want to ask you folks to agree with me regarding this. That God has done this and spared everybody's lives. Lord, I just thank you you've done this, Lord, that you have miraculously moved the baby to where it's supposed to be, and so that doctors don't have to do anything drastic and to try to save this lady's life. And I thank you for doing that. Thank you for the miracle that you've done here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Father. All right. Go ahead, Claire.
Hello. I would like to pray for Stephanie and her baby. And then I'd also like to pray for Dave.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord, for putting Malcolm in a place where he's able to speak faith and he's able to pray for this child. And Father, we thank you for that child. You have ordained that baby. We know that you have seen that baby since before the foundation of the world. And you know Stephanie and you know her heart. And I agree with Malcolm that you are the God of the impossible. You are the Almighty. And that baby is beautiful and safe and exactly where it needs to be. And that Stephanie is not in danger, because she is bringing forth a life into this world. Thank you, Father, for your miraculous work that you do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And for Dave, your stomach problems, brother. Father, it seems to me that since the 1st of January, there's been a bit of a shift and the saints are coming down with all kinds of weird things. And we know that every trial is ordained, and we know every trial is tailored, but we also know we don't have to take the symptoms of any curse. That is not what we're here for. We are under the blood. We have been redeemed. And I pray that over my brother David now, that he is under the blood and he's redeemed and he's walking in freedom. He's walking in liberty, because Jesus came to give life and give it abundantly. So I rebuke any lying symptom, I rebuke any word curses, any witchcraft, any wishcraft, any sorcery, any faction, any rebellion, any slander over him and his family and the larger family that have come to know the knowledge of the truth. I rebuke it all in the name of Jesus. And I say you are healed, my brother, because Jesus says you are. And all symptoms will cease and desist. Have you not heard? Have you forgotten? Are you slow of hearing? You cannot touch God's elect. Now get off him and go in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Matter of fact, I just pray for everybody in here right now in the name of Jesus. Any kind of witchcraft curses spoken on anyone in this fellowship or those listening right now is cast down, is null and void. And we praise you, Father, that everybody here doesn't have to put up with it. It's gone. Thank you, Jesus. We believe it. Glory to God, glory to God. You are free, brothers and sisters. And he who is free indeed. All right, Geneva.
I just want to add to that prayer. Dear Lord, thank you, Father, that Jesus, we are in agreement with Claire's prayer, Father. And Lord, thank you that David has... he has been restored, Jesus, and that he has all of his energy, God, back and restored in his blood and in his bones, Father, and that, Lord, he's more energized than what he was before, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that this is just a test of faith, and God, he's going to stand approved in Jesus' name, Lord. And Father, any thoughts that try to come to his mind, Lord, to try to rob him of this peace, we rebuke those in the name of Jesus, and we cast them out. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for taking care of him and his family, and that no fear or anxiety is able to come over any one of them. And Lord, thank you, Jesus, just for restoring every part of his body, Lord, all of his bowels, everything, Father, and that everything is exactly as it needs to be, if not even better, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that he's going to feel better than ever before. And Father, I also want to pray, Lord, for... Malcolm and Jesus, for this lady Stephanie, God, Lord, please be with that baby, Jesus. Move that baby exactly where it needs to be, Father, and let that baby have amazing organs, an amazing heartbeat, amazing brain, skull, everything that it needs, Father. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that these thoughts, Lord, that are probably rushing through her head and through her family's head, Lord, God, just give them peace. And Lord, let that be a peace that she knows can only come from you, Father, that this is going to be a testimony and that this is going to open up her eyes to what you can do, Lord, to bless this woman, to believe for her child when this baby is born perfectly and to know the power of God. And Lord, I just thank you, Father, for being with all the babies on this ministry and all the babies that are to come. And Lord, just be with all the brethren, Father. And Lord, I thank you, God, that we are all healthy, Jesus, and we're protected. And Lord, the curse is not able to come over us in Jesus' name, because Father, we are shielded with your blood, Lord. And Father, what you did on the cross was enough, God. And Lord, I just thank you, Father, for your promises and what your word says is true. It is true. And I thank you, Jesus, that anything that tries to come to our mind, we block it right now in the name of Jesus, and that we stand on that word and we claim it, Father, and we claim it for our loved ones too, and we thank you for all things. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We believe. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, Greg, go ahead, brother.
A little bit of background. Just it's come to light to me that there's a number of court matters around this whole silly shot and etc. going on at the moment, both in the US and in Australia, and there's other things in Canada I'm aware of, and I'm sure in other parts of the world as well. Just a little brief. I don't want to go into a whole lot of story about it. I'd rather pray, but. I did get a message today, and this had a submission that was put into the US Supreme Court by the the America's Frontline Doctors. It was just brilliant. It Anyway, it gave evidence, all referenced, as to why this shot is not a vaccine, from the horse's mouths of the people who are promoting it. There's other things going on in Australia at the moment. There's another matter going in between a particular not pro-vaccination network and our against our Therapeutic Goods Administration, which is the same as your FDA in the US. I know there are cases happening in Canada with a couple of pastors who declined not to open their churches in Alberta. And also, quite famously here, if you know who Novak Djokovic is, he's a tennis player who's got the number one ranking at the moment, flew into Australia, I think, yesterday, and he's refused to produce his vaccination status. And they have locked him up in an immigration detention facility. And he's taking them to court as well because the Australian Open's on in a week or so's time. And anyway, there's a whole lot of court cases going on. I said I wasn't going to go into that. But Lord, I want to pray this, and if you would give me permission to, because I don't want to interfere with your plans with what's going on. And Lord, you know my understanding and attitude to those people who sit on the benches of courts and those people who conduct cases even. I do not necessarily think that they are not, it's my thoughts that they are aligned with some rather ungodly organisations, let's put it that way, and engaged in some ungodly conduct. However, Lord, they have a place in a station that they should be filling. And Lord, as I say, with that disclaimer of not wanting interfering with your plans, but you do ask us to bring our petitions, etc., before you, that you would send out your forces and cause those who are conducting cases, and particularly those who are hearing cases, with instructions, vehement instructions, they can act no other than in a just and godly and a truthful way. That, Lord, for this purpose, that these things that are happening would come to light. And Lord, I'll leave it all to you. Amen.
Amen. I wonder, I was reading, Dave and I both were, that they had rolled out the 5G, and they have. And I wonder if that's some of the effects that might be happening. See. All right, anyone else? Yeah, David.
Hey, everyone, it's me.
Hey, Linda.
I just wanted agreement. And I also need to kind of confess. So a while back, I think we were praying for Isaac for his smell and taste to return. And I spoke something very fleshly. I turned to my husband and I was like, I think it'd be kind of cool to lose my taste buds, because then I'd lose weight easier because I wouldn't taste food. And so that happened to me. I lost my taste and smell a few days ago. And I still crave all the same foods. I just don't taste them. So it was like so pointless. But I do come against these symptoms. And I am standing in faith for my smell and taste to return. And I praise the Lord because I do believe it's done. But I felt like I needed to just confess that and just ask for agreement with it.
Amen. We agree with you that your taste and your smell returns now in Jesus' name. And when you bite down on that steak, it's going to taste so good. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you.
I'll just add to that, if I may.
Huh?
Can I add to that prayer?
Yes, you can. Go right ahead.
All right. And then, Lord, and this is for your benefit, Alina, we have been given authority to remit sins. And based on her confession, yes, it was a foolish thing to say. But using that authority, we remit that sin. And those words uttered, and ask that you would make the difference, that we would all be wise about what we say, and that, Lord, your hand would move and you would give back a renewed and refreshed and even better experience of the taste of the food you provide. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we agree. All right, Malcolm, go ahead.
You know, it's funny that when you lose the sense of smell and taste, there are certain advantages, especially if you work in a nursing home or something under certain conditions. But we all know that certain kind of deodorants can be not healthy for you. So, you know, if a person was going through that trial, they could always forego the deodorant and be healthier. But anyway, it doesn't help your friends, though. I just wanted to say something about a friend of mine who, on a more serious note, who lost his hearing, at least to some extent. So he was just asking God to restore his hearing. Well, he got his hearing all right, but he could hear a moose miles away that was in distress. An amazing ability to hear that God gave him after going through this trial. So God's able to not just get us back to where we were before, but get us. I think a lot of us know that back in the days of Adam and Eve, when God had just created man, their senses were pretty incredible. I've even heard that before the flood, people had the ability to navigate through something to do with the heavenlies, the stars or something, but they're very, very sensitive. And we know that birds have, some birds have an incredible ability to see at a considerable distance or focus on very small things or, you know, all these things. So I don't know. I feel like I should start praying for beyond, not just being restored back to what it was before, but back to the way God designed it. So the curse isn't even in the picture for what I'm praying for. So anyway, I just pray that the sense of smell be acute and manageable and taste. And I thank you that you've restored that to Isaac. And also, Lord, I want to pray for my wife, who's also lost a lot of taste and smell. I thank you for bringing all that back, and also all the loss of hair with her and your sister-in-law here. And you'll bring all the hair back and fix all those things. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Okay, Greg. Amen. All right. Go ahead, Joe.
I got a small praise report of on Wednesday. My next door neighbor bring his lawnmower to me to fix it. It just wasn't working properly. So I'm cleaning with carburetor and a plug and put a little bit of oil in. And I started it works smoothly, and he's going cutting it. And a few minutes later, I go to my garden shed to do something. And all of a sudden, the thing is smoking like it's a smoke screen. And I remember thinking to myself, why does it smoke? I check everything. So I just said, I'm not accepting this. Go away. And the next moment, it's stopped smoking, and it's working properly. So that's just praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Praise you, Father. No, we don't accept any of that kind of stuff. Jesus.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. All right, go ahead, Isaac.
Hello. I seem to be pretty popular tonight. I just wanted to, thank you guys. Elaine thank you. That's a pretty, it's always bold, or it's always hard to do that. And, you know, God bless you guys with boldness. But, you know, I wanted, when David posted earlier that message, I wanted to say something that I think will encourage him, if I may. And it would be real quick. When I was at Kings Island, I worked with one of my fellow electricians. He had the same issue, same exact thing. And he had talked to me often about it. And I tell you, we would pray and we would believe. And we just pray and believe. And he'd go, you know, back and forth. And, you know, and he was learning to hold tight. And what I'm trying to say is this. Now, hang with me. I'm going to make this make sense. But in his mind, there was best case scenario and worst case scenario. David, obviously, there's the only scenario you have is healing, because it is nothing. There's nothing there. I just want to say that. There is nothing. Nothing. But anyways, back to him. So we prayed, and, you know, it ended up being exactly that. It was nothing. It was nothing. It really was nothing at all. And he was so relieved. I remember he was calling me, and he, like, you know, he just felt like he was just so excited. And there's some more of the story here. The very next day, I come into work. He said, "Isaac." I said, "Hey, buddy." He goes, "I took out my grandpa's 30-30 yesterday." I said, "Okay." And I said, "And how was that?" He said, "I shot the first bird I've seen and blew it to pieces." And, man, I'm going to tell you, it hit me like a ton of bricks, man. Lord spoke to me, and he went on to say, you know, you know, when Jesus was talking about even the birds of the heaven, and you're more valuable than many sparrows. And it hit me like, wow, this guy wanted mercy for him, but not for a sparrow. And it ended up, spiraling all the way through his family. It was a whole big ordeal. And, you know, it was unfortunate, man. I left that company, and I never really got to, he never really got to understand that. But the thing is, don't go shoot no birds, okay? But, no, what I was trying to say, David, is, man, you got something here that's amazing. You got real faith. And I want to read this to you, Romans 8, verse 11. I constantly quote this over me and or say it to myself. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall give life also to your mortal bodies through his spirit that dwelleth in you. Now think about that. Man, that is life in your mortal body, because the kingdom of God is inside you. Jesus said that. So just know that, man. And I hope I blesses you, because, buddy, he was literally nothing, man. And you got more than him. You got real faith and favor. So I hope that somehow blesses you. I don't know if I explained myself very well, but you get it.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Isaac. That was good. Go ahead, Missy.
I just have like a comment question or whatever. Back to when Greg was telling about these lawsuits and court cases and everything, and Novak's, now that's actually his name. He's a tennis player.
He is a tennis player. If I can jump in here. His name is not Novak. His name is Novak Djokovic. He's a Serbian, and he's world number one ranked tennis player at the moment, male.
Novak. Okay. Novaks, but it's kind of funny.
Oh, it is kind of easy. And if you write it in Serbian, it actually has a whole lot more meaning.
Okay.
I'm just making that up, by the way. I don't write Serbian.
Okay, but so I'm not quite sure if I caught what you said about him. He refused to give his vaccine status.
Well, yeah, and that's well known of him, that he doesn't disclose his vaccine status. And he, you know, he was, you know, he's been flown to Australia. Well, he has flown to Australia, I should say. Actually, Barry, I see that hand, and I think I might bow to your wisdom on this. As soon as you find the mute button.
Yeah, I got a whole lot of things going on here. Just a couple of details. I'm going to switch screens here. And I got an email about this. Novak had a, this is from LifeSite News. It just came out just a couple of hours ago. Novak had a very public case of COVID last summer from which he acquired robust natural immunity. Additionally, it is now abundantly clear that the COVID shots are totally ineffective at combating the virus new variants. So why insist on making an example of a healthy professional athlete naturally acquired immunity? Earlier in this article, it says, Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison took to Twitter to virtue signal to the public, declaring that Novak had been denied entry into Australia because nobody is above the rules. But in reality, he had followed the rules and obtained a medical exemption from the country's vaccination mandate from two independent medical boards at the state of Victoria's Department of Health and Tennis Australia, the governing organization for tennis in Australia. So he was, he did his part. He was honest and open about this. But the people in Australia, in their wild-eyed tyranny, have decided to back up and make him an example, even though he did everything correctly. It's really, really bad.
Yeah, that's a little more delicate than I probably would have put it, Barry. But yeah, yes, you know, look, having worked in that field in Australia, it's, you know, when one flies to Australia and you're not a citizen, a visa is what actually gives one permission to come here. So an airline, if they bring someone without a visa and is not a citizen, they actually get fined a very large sum of money, like it's an on-the-spot fine. So it, and then when they arrive here, when a person arrives here, then they get an entry permit. It's kind of all tied in together. And we often, you know, the layperson thinks of a visa as, you know, the entry thing, but that's not quite the way it works in Australia. But yeah, he was coming, everyone knew he was coming. He was granted, you know, the Victorian government, which is a state government, which has nothing to do with people flying into the country. Sorry, and that's not to say it doesn't work with this, you know, this exemption thing that Barry was talking about, but it's not their jurisdiction, international arrivals. You know, but it was all squared away and he was coming and people were going, well, that's interesting, you know, because we can't do that, da-da-da-da-da-da. But I'm thinking good on the guy. But he landed here and the arm of immigration, which is called Australian Border Force, and I was a part of it when they changed that and they became, they think they're paramilitary, but they ain't by a long shot. That's another story I could go into for quite a bit. They, when he hit the ground here, said, ah, you haven't got the right entry requirements. Off you go to what's called an immigration detention centre, which is a hotel that the immigration department used for detention. And there's a number of people who are in there who are, you know, like applying for refugee status and haven't been granted, et cetera. It is all very interesting. I watched an interview by the minister in charge of immigration / border health, border force this morning. And I mean, knowing how this system works, she was dancing around and posturing and stuff like that. And ditto with our virtue signaling prime minister. Yes. Sorry. Thanks for that, Barry. I liked the way you worded it. Sorry, Missy, did we answer the question now? Sorry, I know we've gone off on a tangent there.
I think so. But you also mentioned about a case with our Supreme Court, United States Supreme Court.
Oh, yes. I sent a couple of you, I mean, Claire's nodding there. America's Frontline Doctors, they, I get a feed from them. They had a, you know, they have a submission they put in. They're a part of a case against your OSHA, which there are many other parties that are with them going, you know, and they made a submission. They made a submission to, you know, the Supreme Court on this case. And it's I like this kind of stuff because they make all these, you know, these statements. Well, they're not making the statements, but the statements that have been made. And, of course, there's a little number next to the statement, and then down the bottom is the reference and who it was, when it was, you know. It's all done in a legal form. So that they're not, you know, if I say the sky is green, you know, I'm without backing it up, it's not referenced, no.
That's good.
Anyway, I'm off on a tangent here, and I'm sorry, I'll stop it there, but I can get it to you, Missy.
Thanks.
Okay, we're cutting into Greg's time here, but go ahead, let's get through Claire. I mean, George, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Claire.
I just wanted to pray for Novak. That's
okay.
Thank you, Father, for putting Novak Djokovic where you put him. Father, you've already saved his life so many times as a Serbian refugee. He's thought about it. He loves the Lord. He has confessed you to men. And regardless of his vaccination status, Lord, if he is yours, if he is one of your chosen and he is a vessel of honor, then we know that nothing will harm him, but we know that he will have trials to overcome his flesh. But Father, I pray protection over him. I pray for wisdom for him and his family. I pray that the supernatural principalities of rejection and rebellion and slander and witchcraft are bound and fall on deaf ears and eye gates and ear gates that are only open to the truth for Novak and his family, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Novak. He's from Serbia? Okay. Go ahead, David or Lena.
That's me this time. Back to what Isaac was saying. Thank you, Isaac. That was very encouraging. And it was awesome that you read from that part in the Bible and how you were talking about the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. Because I was listening to a song. I don't know if many of you know. It's called Then Came the Morning. And while I was listening to that song, these words kept coming to my head. Just hold on. The morning's coming. And it's just very cool that you said that, Isaac, and it was very encouraging. Thank you very much.
Amen. Okay, Pat, let's pray for your wife. Lord, we lift his wife up to you, Pat's wife up to you. Lord, we know that sometimes we have struggles within our families because of our belief in you. But you said to lay it on your altar and you would fix it. We thank you, Lord, for doing that for Pat's wife. In the name of Jesus right now, I command this anxiety to go from her, anger to go from her. And Lord, I ask that you open up her spiritual eyes, spiritual ears to hear the truth of the gospel as it says it in the Bible. And Father, we thank you for doing that for Pat's wife. And Lord, we thank you that she's going to come in a mighty way in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for doing that for her in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that when she gets that light's going to go all the way to her soul in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for doing that for Pat and his whole family in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Go ahead, Julie.
Lord, Heavenly Father, I pray that you would rest upon Pat and give him peace, give him wisdom and discernment and great compassion and love for his wife, for Kathy, Lord, that he'll know how to speak to her, to be Christ to her, to love her as Christ loves the church. And Lord, you know exactly how to break through the barriers that Kathy's put up, the defense around her, the wall. Fear causes people to do things they would never have done, say things they would never have said. We just command all of that harassment out of Pat's house. The fear-mongering, jealousy, competition, and every lie of Satan, the accuser of the brethren, who's accusing us to Pat, who's accusing Pat to his, to her, and every other lie that's being spoken there into her head. We bind you, we command a gag order on you. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for lifting Kathy up, and that she's going to see there is such a difference in Pat compared to what she's ever known in religion, Lord, and she's going to want that. And I thank you, Lord, for drawing her to Jesus, the real Jesus, and that she's going to hear and see that real Jesus in her husband and be blessed. And we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for a revival in the McKnight house in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else? Well, Lord, we lift up George to you. We thank you, Father, for this word that he's got. We praise you, Father, that it's going to be a blessing to everybody here. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for speaking through him the things that you'd have him to say. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, George.
Let's get ready to rumble. Father, I thank you for returning all of us, especially Pat's home, to our first loves. Just like when you first loved on us so much that we said yes. And Father, we are in love with you, and you make us in love with each other, a love that is sanctified and holy, pure, innocent, and our families are blessed 100-fold in this life. Anything we have to do for the kingdom of God, I call forth that 100. We draw on the 100-fold blessing for our homes, our households. In every way, Lord, that I'm inadequate to speak about it, you're doing it right now in Jesus' name. And I'm just going to praise God for a little bit. It will end, and then we will move on to what I think he's given me. Michael, thank you for hearing God in this project. Opened up, I believe that God's just shown me that it is a powerful move in the spirit towards what God wants to do. And before I get going, I recognize authority. I picture ourselves in a battle, and when one of our leaders says stop, you know, I'm a father of 6 children and a son-in-law, and if I tell somebody to stop, that's about as stern a fathering that I ever do, is to keep somebody from hurting themselves or somebody else. So I submit to everybody on this call that if you unmute yourself and say stop, I'll stop. I don't think I'm going to hurt myself or anybody. I'm here to edify as God will allow me. I'm getting out of the way and letting him minister. So sing along. And if I'm too loud, I'll try to figure that out, but I will submit to you all. I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. So I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Satan is under our feet. So we take back David's healing, Sam's healing. It's all, we take it from the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. We take back anything. Shalom, peace to everybody represented here and every foot treads you've given it to us, Lord. So all over the planet, you are sanctifying with salt and light. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. I think I went to the wrong. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord Most High. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord Most High. Holy is the name of the Lord. Holy is the name of the Lord. Holy is the name of the Lord Most High. Holy is the name of the Lord. Holy is the name of the Lord. Holy is the name of the Lord Most High. We are silencing the enemy. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all that it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. God, you give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. In the beauty of holiness, we see you, Son of Righteousness. So we bring all that we possess to lay at your feet in the place where your glory shines. Jesus, lover of all mankind, you have drawn us with love sublime to make us complete. So I pause at your gates once more as my heart and my spirit soar, and I wish I could love you more. My God and my King, is there tribute that I could bring? Was there ever a song to sing that could ever express my King? The work that you've done, could I ever conceive of this? All the depths and the heights and breadth of the riches I now possess because of your love. So I pause at your gates once more as my heart and my spirit soar, and I wish I could love you more, my God and my King. So I pause at your gates once more as my heart and my spirit soar, and I wish I could love you more, my God and my King. This is the last one, I think. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Okie dokie. I've been getting a revelation, I believe, on living stones. I moved around some coals and stuff and some fire bricks in my wood stove one day, and one of the fire bricks was glowing, you know, a cement brick was glowing orange, illuminated, and it's like God was telling me that's us. He's fitting us together, obviously in the universal body of Christ, his one church, but also in this fellowship and ministry, we've learned, just like y'all had to put up with my flesh just now and get to enjoying the Spirit. That's what communion I see with the saints is being able to eat the flesh and drink the wine and have fellowship and communion with one another and not neglect the body, not realize when somebody's hurting that we all are hurting, and when somebody's celebrating we're all rejoicing. And the living stones in my fire and my wood stove, you know, it needs wood. It's not just going to glow because it's next to another brick or because it's got coals around it in the natural, but it's gotta keep feeding it with the wood. And I see that as the cross, that if we individually will daily sacrifice and bring that cross, that God will blow on it. I saw several places in the Bible where the Father first blew life into Adam. Jesus blew on the disciples, and he makes his angels winds and ministers of flame of fire sends them forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation. And I just, I receive the breath, the spirit of the Lord that wants to burn away the dross in our lives, that wants to, you know, we say that God will supply all our needs. Well, sometimes that's a 7 times heated crucible so that he can get that silver and see his reflection in it. And I was led, this is a wonderful thing that Michael's done to push men to study and get out of their comfort zone maybe. And there's probably 20 different topics that the Lord has blessed me with. And it all fell into place, I would say, just today, to kind of put everything on a shelf that needs to be put on a shelf. And I believe I'll be able to still get out quite a bit. Michael, you have a electronics background, don't you? Electrical?
Not sure I understand what you're saying.
Weren't you trained to work, do electrical?
Oh, you're talking about my personal background. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I felt like the Lord was telling me that you've been putting together a circuit board and wiring these relationships, and you've been, and now is a time where you're activating and pulling on different parts to produce. And that when I got the word circuit, I thought about circuit preachers and how without technology, Jonathan Edwards rode thousands of miles on his horse all over, pretty much touched everybody in the known new world at that time. And we don't need to go to the strength of horses, but I'm talking to a fellowship that believes in translation. So while we're waiting on Andrew to preach to us, he's going to be making his circuits in our living room, and I call forth divine hospitality to make room for anybody in this fellowship that wants to come and surprise. It's not going to be a surprise. We're making a place in our homes right now for this fellowship to meet face to face, whether in the spirit or in the flesh, we know not. When it circuit board, again, I come back to the board being the cross, and then these wired relationships that Michael's by obedience is throwing the breaker for power. And obviously we know that Jesus is the breaker. He is the shepherd that is the door of the sheepfold. And when he breaks it he's protecting the sheep. And when he breaks it, he lets the sheep out and guides them. And Isaiah 63 is a very strong part of the Bible that talks about that breaker and the judgments that are coming, and that he had no man and he was just stained from trotting on the winepress. And I believe that we may partake of some of, you know, when our obedience is made full, then we will judge all disobedience. Time, I believe, for disobedience to be judged. And obviously it starts with the church, and I'll say it starts with me in my life. I'm asking God to, you know, I would rather be a good warning if I can't be a good example. And if God ground my flesh to powder to save my soul, then my children would see that warning or example, however God would mean for them to take it. And I just think it's time for us to ask God to burn away the wood, hay, and stubble and get to the weightier matters of what the vessels he's called us to be and the rewards, the crowns that he wants us all to get. That we need to provoke one another to good works. And also in Micah 2 and 12 and 13 there, chapter 4, 9 through 12, speaks of the breaker also, the shepherd there, and I believe the situation we're in with the state of the so-called church. And before I forget, if you didn't listen to last night's study, please go back and listen to the law that Michael preached. I thought I was just going to sing because Michael used up all the scriptures last night, but God changed my mind and led me somewhere. So I will be reading some word, but he preached a blue streak with, it was like the word made flesh. If you listen to that, I think you'll agree that was an awesome, it was the fire and the hammer that Jeremiah talks about. His word is a fire and it's a hammer. And Michael was hammering right where the so-called church needs to be hit. Praise God for that. I know the fivefold would love to work themselves out of a job and equip the saints so we can have a mature body and go on to be with Jesus. So, you know, I know glory goes where it needs to when I brag on my brother Michael. So anyway, a house, we are a city on a hill. When those living stones are put together, that church that's made without hands, and we're shining like we need to shine forth, then we are truly a house whose maker is God. And if not, we labor in vain. So we've got to examine ourselves and make sure we get there. Speaking of the wood, the father, Abraham, put the wood on Isaac, and he carried the wood for the sacrifice. And again, it's just that reminder that we daily need to carry our cross, and we need to do it with joy, for the joy that Jesus going to the cross, for he knew what the result was going to be. So our own uncomfortable situations and persecution or embarrassment or whatever you want to call it, fear of man, whatever the world tries to put on us, it's very worth it for God's, the works that he's called us to from the foundation of the world. So anyway, going to go to 1 Peter 4:17, I believe. Maybe it's actually 4:7. And the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore of sound mind and be sober unto prayer. Above all things, being fervent in your love amongst yourselves. I just want to stop and say that one anothering, there are 59 scriptures in the New Testament about one anothering. For love causes a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. Using hospitality one to another without murmuring, according as each has received a gift, ministering it among yourselves as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speaketh, speaking as it were oracles of God. I think that's what has pushed us towards, that if any of us are bringing messages, we just have faith that it is the oracles of God. And I praise God that that is so. If any man ministereth, ministering as of the strength which God supplieth, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, who is the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial among you, which cometh upon you to prove you, but inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, rejoice that at the revelation of his glory, also you may rejoice with exceeding joy. If ye are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are ye, because the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God rest upon you. For let none of you suffer as a murderer or thief or an evildoer or a meddler in other men's matters, but if a man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name, for the time is come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and if it begin first at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous is simply saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore, let them also that suffer according to the will of God commit their souls in well-doing unto a faithful Creator. Chapter 5, that's 1 Peter still, relates to elders and instructions to tend the flock. All of you gird yourselves with humility to serve one another, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. To do the Father's will is my bread. I think that's my note. So I got confirmation. Basically, I thought this was me dredging up an old idea that I thought was cute. And then obviously 4 days later, David, UBM YouTube confirms it with the same acronym JOY, which means, Jesus first, others second, and you third. And I think I heard that this past week on a UBM YouTube, like I said. But what I got out of that also to add to it was, like I did tonight, I wanted to praise the Lord and instruct in worship, maybe, because everybody needs a song of praise. And some of those tunes I sang tonight are very catchy and very easy and edifying. So I'm putting that in the seed bank for hard times, that we will have a song. Nobody is going to be without a song. And it's to give glory to God. And it's to silence the enemy when we praise God. And that is where he dwells, is in our praises. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, guys. I don't want to go off track too much here. Let's just minister to Jesus is a daily practice. Start there. And that's what I do, is I try to hear him. I try to receive from him, because without him, I will do damage. George Thrift, and I grew up being called grumpy. And I overcame that by being kind of a rascal and just a cheerful person always. But I was fed too much grits when I was a baby, and they always called me grumpy. Oops. So anyway, like I said, I would do, George or Grumpy would do damage if it wasn't for Jesus. So I try to go to him, get my daily bread, get my cross in place, so that when I'm in front of other people, I can be merciful and loving and helpful and be Jesus. What am I saying? Just be Jesus. So, and then ministering to myself is getting that daily bread, my devotionals, praying in tongues, edifying myself, having faith to exercise healing and what the Bible tells us to do with laying on the hands, anointing with oil, that I take that as exercising my senses by use, so that I become more spiritual than I am physical. I feel like I got a little nugget that the fruit of the Spirit, the 9 fruits, also line up with this Jesus, others, and you. The first 3 fruits, love, joy, and peace, are how we relate to Father and how he has blessed us, obviously. If he didn't love us, we couldn't love him. And joy is supernatural, beyond our circumstances. And peace, he's the Prince of Peace, and he gives that peace that goes beyond understanding, and he's the only source of that kind of peace. The others is the next 3 fruits is patience, kindness, and goodness. That's how we relate to other people. And if we practice that patience, that kindness, that goodness, then we have an opportunity to speak into people's lives and minister Jesus instead of grandstanding and drawing attention to ourselves. The faithfulness, meekness, and self-control is how we relate to ourselves and deal with our flesh. And those are worth developing. You know, these are short snippets of, like I said, there's like 20 different subjects that just were, it's like when I consider the baptism of the Holy Spirit, sometimes it's pushing you in the water, and sometimes you can be baptized like Niagara Falls falling over you. And I feel like that's kind of where Michael put us, is to be baptized by the Holy Spirit speaking in abundance, so that we are stocking up the bread, developing the message, preparing for the harvest. I feel like God told me that the harvest, I run a food service kitchen for a college, and we have an excellent reputation because we love to serve and we develop the practice of excellence. And it is work to serve. And when we have a harvest like is coming, we better be prepared for the amount of serving that we're going to have to do, and the uncomfortable flesh of the world that's being saved, that we're going to filter through and explain the errors that some of these ex-apostate church people who are being returning to their first love. There's a lot of preparation and studying to show ourselves approved, and more than anything, getting the mote out of our eye so that God can tell us which side of the boat to throw the net on. Obviously, when I say it's work and it's the harvest is insurmountable, we can still rest in letting Jesus work through us. But that doesn't mean that the sheer scope of it is not going to blow our ever-loving mind. So we might as well think big and be ready and prepare and script ourselves and iron sharpening iron with one another. Somehow or another, we need to minister and encourage, and 59 verses in the New Testament, one another, each other, so that we can be that mature one body with one head, our shepherd. I hope this is a decent stream of thought that I'm trying to get across. It's really just simple stuff. And we're to maintain the bond of peace until the unity of the faith. That means everybody's not going to agree with everything, and we can't give everybody the faith that we have, but we can be patient and meek and help until we all reach, we can keep that bond of peace in the unity of the Spirit or whatever, until we gain the unity of faith. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. I got a lot out that I wanted to. One thing.
You muted yourself. There you go.
Okay. Yeah. Let me know if I black out. The world is trying to force its language on us, the body of Christ. And I think with every temptation, God is making a way out of temptation. And whenever the world and the powers that should not be tell us that we have to capitulate, then I want to change that to celebrate. And we will celebrate the victory until hell knows our name. And when cancel culture tries to cancel us, we will pray for boldness. And when they try to ridicule us, we will exude honor and submit to one another. And like I said, these are powers that should not be, but Jesus Christ upholds all things by the word of his power. So we need to redeem the language. We need to kind of make it playful. If I deal with somebody that wants to tell me to use a word that used to mean happy and joyful, and now you can't even say it and associate it, then I'm just going to say I'm as gay as anybody on the planet, because God has given me joy. And if I need to redeem any other situation or word, I'm going to start having fun with it, because we can't let the world push us down. We are not to meant to be to hide our light under a bushel. It's supposed to shine. We're supposed to be salt and light. And I'll start with myself trying to be obedient. And I appreciate everybody's prayers that we would all have boldness. Oopsies. I think I hit 30 minutes, didn't I? Maybe.
Well, you got about 10 more minutes. Go ahead. I'm just kidding, George. No, it's good. Very good.
Hey,
go ahead.
Hey, I got 5 minutes worth of George Jones. Everybody knows that you are not alone, and you'll never be alone because of Jesus, but we do have to have our own faith, and you got to walk that lonesome valley, and you got to walk it by yourself. Nobody else can walk it for you. You gotta walk it by yourself. Jesus walked this lonesome valley, and he had to walk it by himself. Nobody else could walk it for him. He had to walk it by himself. Anyway, y'all don't want no more of that. I definitely don't want to sing George Jones. I honor this ministry as the spearhead of the man child. I think we should all kind of do a deep dive sometimes and be thankful for all the many concepts and the breaking through of tradition and the doing away of sacred cows and things that are just evil in the world that the enemy has placed on a slumbering body of Christ. Like I said, if you listen to last night's study, Michael tore it up really good. Oh, that reminds me of a little joke. There was a little boy went to his mom and said, "Mom, my stomach hurts." She said, "Well, it's probably just empty. I'll make you a snack." About that time, the pastor knocked on the door and came in, and he said he had a headache. The little boy looked over, he said, "It's probably because your head's empty. You probably won't want to feed it." So anyway, what can you say? There's a good shepherd, and he's already told us about these false ones. It's a crying shame what they're doing to their people, keeping them in captivity, the Nicolaitan error, you know, it's plain Greek language to break it apart and see that maybe we shouldn't lord over the laity. And they go down a rabbit trail as hard as they can, trying to put it on some guy, Nicholas, who had a good looking wife. And love to talk about the Nicolaitan error, and it's just embarrassing, and just so many things that one thing I will say, you know, I was talking about where the scriptures led as far as true elders in the church and the trials that we go through. This ministry, I know from being hooked up for at least 13-15 years, the first thing I got was puffed up with knowledge because it was so wonderful to just know things that I didn't know before. And thank God I didn't look to have a ministry of my own just based on head knowledge and being puffed up and wanting to go shove it down somebody's throat. I got on some Christian forums and some of the UBM guys from back then, Cornelius and Brother John and different ones were on there. And they were much more mature than I was. I was kind of mean in the flesh, but I was still standing up for all these pre-trib rapture people. I was trying to basically jump in the fire and save some, because there were so many people in those forums trying to take people captive. And all I can say is this ministry has helped me. It's probably saved my marriage, helped me raise children. I've got 6 children that we homeschooled. My daughter just got married. I got 5 boys at home. They're gentlemen. And if I ask them to let me kiss them on the head or them come give me a hug, 4 out of 5 will. And then I can get the 5th one on special occasions, like when I hit my foot with a chainsaw or something. But I'm blessed. I want to also say that my wife is setting a tone as she's 1 in 4 million, I would say, of the population of Maine, of being a modest woman who will be the only person, if we ever visit a big congregation, who's wearing a head covering. And I honor you women. You are world changers by being modest and honorable and not realizing that the fashions of this world are passing away. You have no idea how you are changing society by carrying that honor and that glory the way that you should. That is a very powerful thing. And we can go in and out of Anabaptist churches and people receive us. And I'm able to fellowship with a lot of different Plymouth Brethren, Anabaptists, Pentecostals, Methodists, whatever. And my daughter's, you know, playing synthesizer or organ or whatever in the little Pentecostal church on the coast. And she's always got her head covering on. And, you know, closer you get to the beach, the more flesh you're going to see, even in church. And she's still maintaining, you know, the things that we've taken as truth. And I'm still rambling, but I just think the truth that we get is so worth holding on to and fighting for, and actually going back and testing it and trying it to make sure we've got the truth. And one last thing I'll say for now is that one of my favorite studies was on the eunuchs and not sowing our own seed. And I believe that's a beautiful teaching that David did a long time ago, probably 05. But just can't get enough of going back and listening. I talked earlier about the things that we give up in this life that will get 100-fold return. I must have 30 times 100, 3,000 MP3 players coming my way with BM stuff all saved on them. So there is a vault of storehouses of information and old studies and everything, laptops and PCs, towers. So it's all coming back to us. And I don't regret a minute of being hooked up with y'all. I'm kind of so dumb that I used to call the old number to get in on the fellowship, and I would call it and get put on some weird hold, like it was actually going to come alive at some point. And then after a couple of years or more of that, I finally figured out where you all were. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed, and I don't want to be ashamed of being blessed. And so many stories of how this ministry and the truth that God's allowed me to get a hold of has kept my flesh out of trouble. I'm done.
Amen. Thank you, George. That was an awesome, awesome word there. Thank you, brother. Has anybody got any questions or any comments on anything that George has spoke to us tonight?
Before they do, I do want to say that 31 years ago, my little sister called me when I had moved down to Florida and told me that she gave her life to the Lord. She had cystic fibrosis, knew she was not going to have a long life, tore me up, and it still took me 3 more years before I bought a Bible and read it and met Jesus. And then a year later, I got to spend time with her, and she died about 27 years ago. She would have been 50 years old today. So I'm calling on a jubilee for the body of Christ right now. I'm celebrating it like me and my sister are God's favorite people. And I am calling that too, that we're getting our jubilee in Jesus' name. And we're getting our Pentecost in Jesus' name. So I don't want to forget that.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Boy, I'll tell you what, that was awesome. Bless you, George. All right, anybody got anything they want to comment? Pretty much said it all, didn't he? Yeah, Andrew.
I really enjoyed that. You know, I always wondered sometimes how you can be a lamb and a lion at the same time. And I think there was a lot of stuff in there that was really helpful for me to just ponder that and how to be bold and how to be humble. These two vernaculars that describe our Lord as a lamb and a lion. And well, praise God for this. And I give glory to God for it. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I came across Diotrephes, who loved to be first. And I said, I will not be Geotrephes, that I will be bold as a lion only because of God. And, you know, Michael put us on the spot, and it's a good spot because God, Jesus, will always cover the spot, right?
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah. While you guys are queuing up, go ahead.
Go ahead, George.
I just wanted to redeem another worldly thing, that the golden rule is to do unto others as we would have done unto us. And their golden rule is whoever has the gold makes the rules. So we just cancel that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Carol.
I don't know, but you have such a beautiful way of painting pictures with your words. And I just want to throw it out there. And also singing. I was truly blessed by your singing. And I just wanted to join in, which I did. But I wanted to join in, like all of us together and hearing each other. But I sensed that maybe you might even have, I don't know, a gift perhaps to write songs. It could be a prophetic song or singing prophetic songs over people. So there you go. I put it out there.
Amen. All right. Anybody else? You know, something that I would ask y'all to pray about is to pray that the gifts would be more evident in your personal life, personal walk. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in us. He's the one that operates the gifts. And the further along in Christ that you get, the more those gifts will manifest. Just start believing it. God's going to give you a word of knowledge. God's going to give you discernment. God's going to give you a prophecy. God's going to do this. God's going to give you the gift of miracles. If you pray for somebody, it's going to happen. The gift of faith, same way. Gift of healing, same way. All of those gifts are available to each and every one here. To the newest Christian, to the oldest Christian. They're all available to you. And all we have to do is start exercising. It's not something that God rains down on you, okay? It's something that you do. The Holy Spirit's in you. He wants you to utilize him to his fullest. Boy, I tell you what, when we start realizing who is in it, we talked about this a little bit one night. You remember, well, I don't really want to go into that. I don't have enough time. But anyway, just remember who you are in Christ and who lives inside of you. You have all the blessings of heaven available to you. And all we have to do is access them. Well, how do you access them? Ask God. And start believing that when you decree and declare something, it's going to happen. Okay, anybody else? Yes, Debbie.
When you just said about the gifts, it's not something you, and I think you said have, it's something, however you worded it, it's not something you, something, but it's something that you do. So then I thought, okay, then I better do and share what I heard. Uh-huh. During the prayer times and the different sharings, then just the faith that's going on when people are talking and sharing. And anyway, I just heard the Lord say, I wrote it down, but I heard him say in such a tender way. And he said, I marvel at the boldness of your faith that is among my children here. That's what I just heard, just that. So he marvels at this, as George was saying, and this is something special, and the Lord says it is. So he marvels at us, the faith among us here.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. I believe that. I believe we've got this whole place right here, this everybody in here together has got supernatural faith. Amen. Oh, those are the names of the songs, yeah. And I go to the enemy's camp. I know y'all don't want me to sing. All right, no, yes,
Pat. You'll make a stand up.
Yeah, well, we have certain songs in the fellowship that it's a law. You got to come up out that chair and start singing. somebody raised their hand. Who was that? Pat, go ahead.
Thank you, George. That was. I felt like I was taking a bath. It was just warm pouring over me. The Lord really blessed me from what you said. One thing that you brought up in your song was a song that I hadn't heard for a long time, but it really blessed me, and that is, "Make Me a Sanctuary." It's probably been 20 years since I've heard that song. And just how it fit in with even what we were just speaking about, that and what Debbie just said, that about that faith that Jesus created within us and put within us. And just the thought that he is creating a sanctuary and has created a sanctuary, a place where he can feel comfortable. And so I just am blessed by your words tonight and by the presence of the Lord. And so I just wanted to thank you for that.
Amen. I ditto that. Thank you, Lord. Anybody here not like what George said, raise your hand. Don't do that. Don't do that. Everybody loved it. Yes, me too, Judy. I was blessed as well, Barbara. Amen. Kara. All right. Anybody got anything I need to pray about before we close out? Who's next? Let's see. Let's see on the calendar here. Tasmanian devil. No, Tasmanian angel is up next week. That's awesome. Well, George, you set the standard, so Rayon, get your vocals ready. Got this little praise and worship there. Awesome.
I was tremendously blessed by that. Thank you, Dirk. And yeah, it's definitely the Lord is spoke to him. It's one of God who's setting the standard for sure.
Amen. Yeah, Debbie.
I'd like to share that Victory texted me back a little while ago, and I told her we did pray earlier, you know, shortly after I got on, not too long after I got on. And she said, awesome, amen. He's up eating some barbecue rib right now.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, man. That's awesome. Go ahead, Carol.
Okay, so I want to say thank you to the whole body of Christ here. And yes, indeed, the gifts of faith and prayer are so powerful. I thank the ladies for prayer last Friday. You know that I overcame anxiety when I joined this group, and I had an episode last week, and God gave me such grace for a lunchtime that gave me 30 minutes with the women. And they prayed for me. Where I'm at today is what I wanted to say, is that after that, normally I would have been stuck with shame that I had an episode, or would have tried to figure out how did this happen. I would have like tried to do all kinds of things to figure it out. And instead I just kept letting it go. I felt such grace after I had prayed with my sisters. And then I had, I have my probation at work that ends on the 27th. It's the longest probation in history, by the way. And that too normally would be an embarrassment and or anything. Like, it truly is God testing me, trying me. But I would not have been able, I would have seen it negatively. So I have this, I actually had a day off yesterday. And because I wasn't feeling well, but I really, this is what God did. He did two things. Is normally I'd force myself to go to work out of fear not to lose my job. But instead I listened to the Lord with this confidence that I'm getting more and more by being with the body of Christ here. And so I listened in my spirit, and I really felt God said, I want you off today. And in fact, all I did was sleep, which, like, not normal sleep, like knocked out cold sleep. I couldn't even stay awake, and I just let it happen. And I've been thinking and praying about a big change in my life right now too. So I think he's been doing something there. And then when I got into work this morning, there was a note that my boss wanted to meet with me. And the first attack in my brain was, he's going to fire you because you're not good at anything. And I went, Marilyn, I remember Marilyn said, my identity in Christ, I am loved, I am protected, I have a sound mind. And I love what George said before, blow up my ever loving mind. I went, wow, I love that. I'm taking that one too. And so I just placed that en français, c'est des pansements d'amour. So bandages of love onto my brain instantly, but that's the Holy Spirit. So you were talking about us having the faith, and then I instantly put that on and I pushed it aside and I did my regular work. And then when I met with my boss, he's like, oh yeah, your numbers are so good, Carol, you know? And I was like, he's such a breath of fresh air. I look at him and I go, God, finally, I have been through hell and back. I've been through the shredder. And it's so awesome to have someone who's accompanying me at this next phase from the world. So I think I wanted to say thank you, but I also want to lift this man up. His name is Sylvain. And I just, there's something about him. I know he does not believe in God because I've planted the seed here and there, and but maybe he's not allowed to respond, but I have a good sense of that. And I really think this man, you know, God bless him. That's what I want to say. And that we need to bless this man because he's taking care of one of God's children who's been through the ringer in the world. And it's amazing. So thanking you guys and lifting this man up. So there you go. And he even asked me how I did with my episode from the week before, because he knew. And so that too, normally I would have been terrified to have told him that. I showed him my vulnerability, but the Holy Spirit accompanied me and said, just ask for a 20-minute break. And he allowed me to have my break. And he says, so how are you doing from your episode from last week? I said, totally wonderful. I said, God is good. And I said, you know what? I'm human. It happens. And I thank God that I have you guys in my team. And that was it. So bless you guys. To be able to let go of that weight is a phenomenal thing. And I know that's just the presence of us getting together, and I'm getting stronger through that place that I was so weak. Amen. Ooh, God bless you guys. I'm hugging you spiritually, all of you.
Amen. Thank you, Carol. Lord, we thank you for Carol, and we ask, Lord, that you show favor with her out at her work, and everybody would see nothing but light coming from her in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Geneva.
Real quick, because I know it's almost time to go, I just wanted to say that when I heard Carol speak, it reminded me that the Lord used her last ministry because she, you know, you too, Michael, I mean, really just everybody, but you were praying for Vanita's husband, Frank, and you kept saying Morgan too. And I know Carol said something about believing that, you know, there was something meant for Morgan as well. Because Morgan has dealt with stomach issues. I know I've brought this up before, but he's dealt with stomach issues almost all of his life. When he was in middle school, he almost died because his appendix, like, bursted. And thank God, I guess they were able to get him to the hospital in time, but anyways, Lord saved his life then, and thank you, Jesus, for that. But anyways, he's always had like stomach issues, and anyways, we were just, you know, you kept saying Morgan. I was like Lord, I was like, I'm gonna receive this too, like, thank you, Father, that Morgan is he's healed of those stomach issues, and he doesn't get stomach cramps anymore or anything of that sort. So that was definitely meant. And then Carol, you just kind of confirmed it by saying that. So the Lord always knows what he's doing, and you're right, Michael, it's a 2-for-1 deal.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you that Morgan is here and Frank, Go ahead, Theo.
Yeah, but I just want to thank the Lord for George. He did. I was able to join the call right when he started to speak, so that was amazing. And he said that we take back everything that the devil has stolen from us. And I've never heard that in my life. And I claim it for myself, my family. I claim it for the interview tomorrow for my assessment. It's going to go well. They're going to give me a raise. It's going to be blessed. And I take back everything the enemy stole from us, from our health to our finances to whatever he keeps pushing on us. And in the name of Jesus, I claim this. And I thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Yes, we all of us do. We thank you, Lord, that you're restoring everything that the devil has taken from us, our families, our whatever it is, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. It's going to be better than it was before. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, we're thinking that tomorrow Phil's going to go in there with a smile on his face because he already knows that Lord has shown him favor. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right. Lord, we just thank you so much for the message tonight. It was awesome. Thank you, Lord, for the songs also. There was some in there that we still sing in the fellowship here. And Father, we just praise you. We glorify you for all the work that you're doing in each and every one of us, Lord. We thank you, Father, for giving George a great night's sleep tonight with good dreams, Lord. And Father, we just ask and pray for your anointing upon Rayon next week, during this week as he prepares for it. We thank you, Father. It's going to be an awesome message too. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Give us all a good night's sleep tonight. Place love in our hearts for each and everybody. In Jesus' name. And let the gifts be flowing, Lord. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Father. Well, good night, everybody.